Let me turn to Matthew, Matthew chapter 22, Matthew chapter 22. And this is a verse that you'll probably be very familiar with, because this was a question that was once asked to Jesus. One day, as he was gathering around and teaching the experts in religion, the experts in the Jewish law, came up to him and asked him a question. And Matthew 22 and verse 35, this is what they said. Matthew 22, actually we start at verse 34. Then the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply. They'd been questioning him too. And they met together to question him again. And one of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. We'll look at what Jesus was saying about that in a moment, but let me just introduce you to this theme. It's on your program card. Hopefully you've got that, and it's got all the titles on there as well. It's a series about happiness. It's all about one question. What makes you happy? What makes you happy? Over the next few weeks, we're going to look into that. And if you've noticed anything about the world, we're not the only people who are asking that question. What makes you happy? I think most people wake up every day subconsciously thinking, what will make me happy? What will make me happy? Every time you open a magazine or turn on your TV or your PC, there are people that you have never met, that do not know you at all, who will tell you what will make you happy. Have you noticed that? And many of us have believed some of those promises and some of those suggestions over the years, haven't we? We've all done it. I know I've done it. At some point, we've all bought into promises that if I bought Watt Car over the holiday, because I quite like digging around. I like cars. So I was reading Watt Car, and there was all sorts of little promises in the adverts there that if I just drive this, I will be a very happy man. Yeah. Well, I probably will be for about 3 months, and then it'll probably wear off a little bit. Let's be honest, that's happened for every car I've ever owned. Or if I drive this, or if I own that, or if I look like this, there's another one, then I'll be happy. There are lots of people telling you how to be happy in the world today. And to be honest, at some point in our lives, we've all wasted a lot of time and money buying into some of those promises. And like those bubbles, you know, they're there for a moment, but then they just burst, don't they? Their happiness fades. Why do we do that? Why do we chase after these things? The uncomfortable truth is this. Some of us don't know what makes us happy. I wonder if I ask you the question, what makes you happy? What will make you happy? I wonder if you've got a solid answer to that. What will make you happy? We either don't know, or we've forgotten and lost track of it. Here's how you know if you're one of those people who doesn't know what makes you happy. Here's the test. If you keep trying things to make you happy, and lots of different things, and you're still not happy, you're one of those people. Because you're experimenting and you're trying to find what makes you happy. So let's start with something that will help you in terms of this happiness pursuit, the pursuit of happiness. Here's a little clue about happiness, and this is what I first want to say. Happiness is more about who than what. Every time. Every time. This is one of the earliest lessons you learn in life. You learned this in the back garden, or you learn it in the school playground, didn't you? Or maybe in the youth group, because you found yourself playing with a bunch of who's, didn't you? And it didn't matter what you had to play with. you were happy. Is that true? You all remember that? You all remember those experiences? Because what you found yourself playing with was a bunch of who's, not a bunch of what's. The who's are almost more important than the what's. And that's true in our experience. If you're honest, that's true. And parents often don't get this. Parents, have you ever been, you've been a parent, you know, and you've bought your kids, you've saved up, and it's been hard to get hold of, and it's the Christmas present of the year, and everybody's buying it, and you turn up at Toys R Us, and it's sold out, and you turn up again, and you try and order it online, and finally you get a hold of it, and you present it on Christmas morning, and 2 days later you find your kid playing with the packaging it came in, with their mate, and building a castle out of it, or a spaceship, or something, a car, and they're playing with the box it came in instead of the thing you bought them. Why? Because they're playing with a who. And the what really didn't matter. And if you're a parent, you'll work that one out in a frustrating way very fast. There's an important truth. Important truth is simply this. The important truth is happiness is always associated with a who or two. Sounds a bit, yeah, what was that? Dr. Seuss. It does sound a bit Dr. Seuss, doesn't it? Happiness is always associated with a who or two. And it is. It is. You know that's true because if happiness was just about what, then we could all buy happiness tomorrow. And we know it doesn't work. If happiness was just about a what, we could get it online or down the high street any time we want. If that were true, everybody in this nation, which is the fifth biggest economy in the world, would be happy. And are they? If that were true, it wouldn't matter how anybody else treated me. I would just go out and buy some stuff and then I'd be happy again, wouldn't I? But that doesn't work, does it? Happiness is always associated with a who or two. In reality, it doesn't work that happiness is about what, because this is also true. A happy what always leads to a happy what else. You ever found that? Isn't that true? The best example of that is your mobile phone. You get really excited. I do. I'm a bloke, so I get ridiculously excited about gadgets and stuff. So I got my new mobile phone, but then they brought out another one. About 6 months later, ironically, they brought out a nice new one with a few more features and a bit more power and a bit more memory, and it'd do a few more things. And suddenly, my happiness in my first phone dropped down the toilet, really. It just disappeared. Or one time when I put my phone in the washing machine. That wasn't a good idea either. But, it was that equivalent. It just, got washed away. A new phone. And we do the same with a car or a house or a job or a holiday. If an aging what, an aging thing that we have deflates your happiness, the truth is you weren't really happy in the first place. You were just being marketed. You are just being marketed. You'll be happy if you have this. And we know it doesn't work because we've all experienced it. It doesn't work. It's not where real happiness is. Here's some more evidence for you. Have you ever done some short-term mission or voluntary service abroad? Anybody ever volunteered not to go to a tourist spot, to go to a place where people don't go, and help out? Have you ever been anywhere where you've done that? Either in the UK or abroad? Anybody do that? Stick your hands up. It's quite a few of you. Yeah, you've been to different places in the world. And you've been to a country maybe with some real poverty, limited health care, and you've tried to help people in need. For me, that was my most recent experience in northern Bulgaria, the place called Lom, which in the 90s when communism cleared out, just dropped Lom, literally in the Danube, on its shores on which it sat. And it just, that town just collapsed. A lot of poverty, a lot of unemployment, big ethnic problems with the gypsy population on their doorstep. And you've probably had the same experience I had. I went to this place, and I was expecting them all to be miserable. And they weren't. These people were some of the most joyful people I've ever met in my life. They had nothing. They had health issues aplenty, and financial issues aplenty, and problems aplenty, yet some of the believers I met were the most joyful people I have ever met on this planet. And it's a universal phenomenon. You've probably experienced it too, because everybody ends up coming back with this little weird question. And the question is simply this. Oh, hang on. I've gone one too far. How can they be so happy when they don't have anything? How can that be right? How can that be right? You encounter people with a lot more joy and peace and contentment and holiness and happiness than even people in our society. They seem a lot more at peace and a lot more content, a lot more centered than we are. Now you know why, because I've told you why. Happiness is more about a who than a what. Every time. Here's a little bit more evidence for those of you who aren't convinced. This is one for families. You ever notice that as a parent, you are never any happier than your most unhappy child? You ever experienced that as a parent? You're never happier than your most unhappy child. It's true, isn't it? Because happiness is about a who, not a what. The same is true for marriage. Husbands are never happier than their most unhappy wife. And this is the biggest argument against polygamy in the universe. This is why Solomon was not the brightest guy in the world, I don't think, because he married hundreds and hundreds of wives. If you want to be happy, you are never more happy than your unhappiest wife. So, you know, stick with one, you got a chance there, guys. But, you know, multiply that and you diminish your happiness by exponentially. Seriously, it's the greatest argument for polygamy in the world, guys. Keeping one woman happy is enough, isn't it? That's enough, boys. That'll keep you busy for a while. There you go. So why is it that we struggle to be happier than the unhappiest member of our family? Why? Why do we struggle to be happier than the unhappiest member of our family? Why? Because happiness is about a who, not a what, every time. You have been designed and created in such a way that your fulfillment is always tied to a who, not a what. You were designed like that. Final piece of evidence, still not convinced. In the end, you will always have relational, not professional, regrets. You will always have those. The end of the day, the end of your life, if you have regrets, I can guarantee they will be about relationships, not possessions. Every time. In the end, nobody asked to be wheeled out to the car park bay so they can have a few moments with their car. Have you ever experienced that? Has anybody ever done that? Just give me a few moments with my Ferrari and I'll, you know, and then I can shed off this mortal coil. Nobody ever says that. What do they always say? Who do they want around their bedside? Who do they want to see? What are they most regretful about? It's always about who's. It's always about relationships. It's never about possessions. Every single time. Now, there may be some people here who are still thinking, hang on a minute. No, I'm still not bought into this idea that it's about who, not what. So, and some of you may be saying this, I don't need anyone to be happy. Men are particularly vulnerable to this particular thought. I don't need anyone to be happy. All of us can remember a season in our lives, can't we, where we may have said that. That may be our response. Let me say this to you. There are two kinds of people who say this in life. One group has so many people and friends in their life that they've never really truly experienced loneliness or isolation. To you, I would say, be careful about assuming that you can live happily without relationship. Doesn't work. Now, you've probably never experienced it. That's why you might be tempted to say this. The second group are the ones who can't fix their loneliness and isolation, who can't fix it. So they rationalize it by saying, I don't need anybody. To you, I would say, this is so dangerous, this phrase. You were not designed to live a life in isolation, and ultimately, you are robbing someone else of your friendship and of their happiness, of your companionship and your support. This doesn't work, and this should not enter the human vocabulary. It is not how we are made. And the reason we say this is this. When we can't get what we really want and need, we tell ourselves we don't really want it. Now, it's a defense mechanism. And at some point in our lives, we've all lied to ourselves to make ourselves feel better. I don't need that to be happy. And in some cases, it doesn't matter. If it's a pair of shoes in a shop window and you say, I don't need that to be happy, that's no big deal. That's great. In fact, amen. But lying to yourself about the need for a who, for relationship, does matter because you were designed for that. You were made for that. So with me so far. If the question is, what makes you happy? For the rest of this series, I want you to answer this. What makes you happy? The answer is no thing. No thing makes you happy because happiness is about who, not what. So for the rest of the series, that's going to be the answer. So what makes you, let's try this out. What makes you happy?
No thing.
Correct. And I'll try and convince you about that over the next few weeks. But there you go. We'll give that a go. Now, let's talk about what does make you happy. What one characteristic is there that every person has, and there is one that everybody has that is related to relationships. It is very closely related to relationships and this who idea. Specifically, their relationship with themselves and others. And the truth is that happy people, I've noticed, have you noticed this? Happy people have a little thing called peace. They seem to be at peace with all sorts of things. They're specifically at peace with themselves first. You notice that? Happy people are generally quite at peace and comfortable with themselves. Doesn't matter whether they're high earners, low earners, married, single, kids, no kids. These people generally seem at peace and happy in their own skin. Happy people are at peace with themselves. They're not warring with themselves. They're not at war with themselves. Or they're not trying to be something they're not. Happy people generally, I would say, are like that. And you pick that up as you see them. Happy people are also at peace with somebody else. They're at peace with others. They're not angry at people. You know, the most unhappy people on the planet are people who bear grudges. Are they happy? Have you ever met a person with grudges who seems happy? They're miserable, aren't they? They hold on to unforgiveness and grudges and bitterness, and it just kills them. It's like drinking poison and expecting somebody else to die. That's what it is. And yet we do that. And yet people who are happy, they're not angry at people. They're not holding grudges. They're not trying to get even. They're not easily offended. That's really important. Are you easily offended? It's very hard to be happy when you're easily offended all the time. But happy people are at peace with themselves and they're not easily offended by other people. Even when they've been treated badly, they're not easily offended. That's a great trait to have. Happy people are also at peace not only with others, they're also at peace with something else. They're at peace with God. I believe that to be true. They believe there is more to life than stuff. They believe that at the end of the day there will be justice. They have peace about that. They're not trying to fix everybody and everything. They put their hands in God's life, in their life in God's hands. They trust Him. They have a sense of hope and future about them. They have a confidence that God would enable them to walk through circumstances that would otherwise devastate their happiness. They have a confidence in God to do that. Now, if this is true, then anything that undermines your peace with any of those will also undermine your happiness, won't it? Isn't that true? If you want to know what makes you happy, anything that gets in the way of your peace with those three things will get in the way of your happiness. It's an interesting idea to float around. Now, when I was young, I thought God was in the way of my happiness. I thought God was in the way of my happiness. But the truth is that that's not true. When I was young, I thought God was in the way of my happiness. It's always why most people never go near a church. Most people think it's a choice between being good, a religious person, or being happy. We think that God, you know, is not a focus for happiness. He's a focus for being a bit serious and a bit glum all the time and doing things right and proper. And then, you know, that takes away a bit of the fun of life, doesn't it? Let's face it. God is in the way of my happiness. Most people think it's a choice between being godly or being happy. Imagine the shock when people discover that God is the way to my happiness. God is the way to my happiness. To resist God is actually to resist happiness. Is actually to resist happiness. And most of us can think of a time, I think, most of us can think of a time in our lives when we had a season where we undermined our peace with ourselves, our peace with others, or our peace with God, and that affected our happiness. And any time I continue to make decisions where I get in the way of that, I'm on the verge of sabotaging my own happiness. The Christian faith is built on this truth, that peace with God paves the way to peace with myself, even in my brokenness. And it paves the way and equips me to make peace with others. Christian faith is actually built on that. Now, Jesus once asked that important question we read about a lawyer. What is God's favorite law? Of the 600 Jewish laws, what is God's favorite one? And this is how it went, as we said. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Which one? And this is odd, because when we think about happiness, laws and commandments don't feature, do they? If I tell you what makes you happy, are you going to say laws and commandments? Probably not. We tend to think laws and rules are getting in the way of our happiness, a bit like we think of God getting in the way of our happiness, because we tend to view laws and rules as don'ts, as restrictions and prohibitions. But Jesus' reply was very interesting. Here's the most important law that you live by in your life. Jesus replied, you must love. Now, wait a minute. Where's the thou shalt not, and the don't do this, and the do that, and... Hang on, Jesus. Where's all that stuff? This doesn't sound like a law to me. Jesus says it's the most important law in the universe. Love. That's your answer, Jesus. Love is the most important law for me to live by. Love isn't a command word, is it? What is love? It's a relationship word. It's a relationship word. Jesus replied, you must love. Love what? Well, he goes on and he explains. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Jesus says, since God loves you, the most important thing you can do is to love him back. It's true. Since God loves you, the most important thing you can do is love him back. And since God is waiting to make peace with you, you should make peace with God. The most important commandment is about... This is interesting. Peace with God. Peace with God. But as you know, Jesus didn't stop there, and he brings the other two components of what we've talked about in terms of happiness into the equation. And this is what he says. This is amazing. Think about this, because you probably never linked this command with your personal happiness before, but it is. Look at this. This is the first and greatest commandment, and second is equally important to it. Love your who? Neighbor, others, as you love who? Yourself. God, others, yourself. Haven't we just talked about that in terms of happiness? Can I emphasize how profound this is? Jesus is saying what's most important in life is peace with God, peace with others, and peace with yourself. And I can't help thinking, Jesus, that sounds like you want me to be happy. Peace with God, peace with others, peace with myself. Jesus, you want me to be happy. I do, says Jesus. I want you to be happy, and this is how you do it. It sounds like you think happiness, my happiness, Jesus, actually matters. It sounds like you're putting it front and center, the most important. Jesus says, I do. I want you to be at peace with God, at peace with others, and at peace with yourself. It's the only way you'll find happiness. You ever realize that your happiness matters to God? It's the first commandment. And when I was young, I thought God was in the way of my happiness. God is getting in the way of my happiness, so I'll do my stuff and then I'll be happy. It's also why most people never go to church. Most people think it's a choice, as we said, between being good, being religious, being a Christian, or being happy. Imagine the shock when we discover God is the way to my happiness. To mess around with your peace with God, others, and yourself will make you unhappy. I will guarantee you that if you mess with your peace with yourself, if you're at war with yourself about something, if you're at war with others about something, or if you're at war with God about stuff, you will not be happy. I can guarantee it. Guarantee it. But to make peace with God and yourself and with others leads to happiness in life. Because happiness is more about a who than a what. We need to close. I want to close just with one little idea. Again, just to scotch an idea that may be floating around in our heart, in our minds about happiness. A little myth. And I want to talk about, let's talk about sin. Because that's always good to talk about, isn't it? Let's face it. Let's talk about sin just as we close. Sin. Religious word, most people don't use it anymore, but for definition purposes, let's just take away all the religiosity about it, but let's call it sin. Sin is all the stuff people do that we think they shouldn't. Okay? Let's just put that basic definition on it. Sin is stuff people do that we don't think they should do, yeah? Let's just put that as a definition. Here's where sin affects happiness. Here's where sin affects happiness. One thing sin always does, it is always separates. Now, a lot of time we think sin sounds quite fun. It's going to make me happy. If I just do this stuff, I know it's a bit taboo and I shouldn't do this and it's a bit dodgy and a bit wrong and other people think I shouldn't do it, but I really want to do it because I think it'll make me happy. Listen to this if you think that. Sin separates you. It separates you from others. Think about the last relational conflict you had at home or at work or at marriage. Somebody did something you thought they shouldn't, yes? If that's the definition of sin we're using. Somebody did something you thought they shouldn't. And what did it do to that relationship? Every time someone lies or cheats or steals or hurts, it separates people. And when you bring sin into a relationship, it erodes peace. What else is that going to erode? Your personal happiness. Every time. Sin is not your friend. It is not the way to happiness. Here's what else it separates you from. It separates you from God. And this is the primary reason is this. And you may be surprised at this because you think sin separates me from God because God is, you know, just doesn't like me anymore. Listen to this. This is why sin separates you from God. When you sin against another person, you sin against someone God loves. Do you ever realize that? When you hurt somebody else, you hurt someone God loves. Now that creates a problem between you and God. It breaks the peace between you and God. It separates you and God. For example, if you mistreat my kids, I can guarantee it's going to affect the peace I have between me and you. If I offend your wife, I can guarantee it's going to affect the peace we have between me and you. That's how it works, isn't it? That's how it works. You mistreat people I love and you have a problem with me. And if I mistreat the people you love, if I sin against them, you're going to have a problem with me. That's the truth. Sin separates. And the Bible clearly states, God so loved people in this room. God so loved the world. So every time I sin against another human being who God loves, guess what it does to my relationship with God, my peace with God? The same thing it does if I mistreat someone you love. It damages the peace between us. It's the same principle. Sin separates you from God because you're damaging people that he loves. That's why it happens. It also separates you from yourself. Sin separates you from yourself. Fill in this blank. If I ever... I wouldn't be able to live with myself. It's very possible, I'd say even common, for people to have a bad relationship with themselves and that they can't forgive themselves. I've met so many people in pastoral situations who cannot forgive themselves. They've done something, said something, been something, and they can't get by it. They get stuck. They're at war with themselves. Not even liking themselves because sin, something they feel they shouldn't have done, is now damaging their peace, not with others, not with God, but with themselves. And that's not uncommon for people to live like that. Sin separates you from yourself and who you're supposed to be. And when sin creeps into our lives, it erodes our relationships, our peace with others, with ourselves, and with God, because sin always separates. So sin, my friends, although it may sound tempting and a fun way to go, it may look like it offers happiness. I would almost guarantee it doesn't offer any of it. It won't do it. Because happiness is always tied to a who, not a what. And happy people are at peace with themselves, with others, and with God. So I'm going to summarize. Here you go. You had a lot this morning, but it's on the, if you go online, you can download, you can listen to it online, but you can also download under the resources section, under the life group section. There's a sheet about this morning and a little summary. But here's a little summary for you. Since happiness, and here's a question. Let's just work this one out as you work out this summary. Since happiness is about a who and not a what, okay, if you believe that, and since happy people are at peace with themselves and others and God, if you believe that, and since sin undermines peace by separating us, and since Jesus valued and prioritized peace with God, ourselves, and others, and since you want to be happy, and I think everybody in the room does, here's what I want to challenge you with. You should consider following Jesus, either for the very first time Or, if you're already a follower of Jesus, you should follow him more closely than ever. Because if all those statements are true, you should consider following Jesus as closely as you can. And the truth is, you will be very happy that you did, quite literally. Because God, first commandment, is the way to true happiness, is a way to peace with ourselves and with God and with others. Because happiness is always about a who, not a what. Have a think about that. Have a pray about that. Download some of the resources online. And I pray that some of these things will encourage you as you think about happiness and what makes you happy. The sort of happy that doesn't burst like a bubble every time you try and grab hold of it. We're just going to close now. And I think we'll close just with a prayer. And a prayer and a blessing on you guys as you go out into the world. A world that will constantly tell you how to be happy. And maybe as you've heard, something that challenges some of those ideas today. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you that you love the whole world. And it's a bit amazing to us that you want us to be happy. We never thought that was one of your priorities. We thought you wanted us to be good. We thought you wanted us to be holy or religious or some weird thing like that. But actually, you want us to be happy because you want us to have peace with you, with the people around us, and equally important, with ourselves. And we know that happy people have that. It's your first commandment. I want to thank you that our happiness matters to you. Forgive us when we bought into all sorts of ideas about what constitutes happiness, and it is literally about what's stuff. And we know it doesn't work. We've been there and tried it. Most of us have lived long enough to know it doesn't last. Help us now to invest in something that does. Help us to follow you more closely, or maybe even to follow you for the first time, and finally grasp a life that actually achieves the peace and the happiness that we've wanted. We ask you to give us the courage to do that and the trust to believe that if we do that, this will work. We ask for your help and for your blessing. As we go out into the world, Lord, may we make the world a better place, because when we are those sort of people, full of life and joy, then we change the world around us. The world needs that, Lord. Would you help us to be that? We ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,